are the best way for Bible study. It's incumbent upon us as Bible students, when we study anything, is to know the context in which the verse lies. In Psalms chapter 119, verse 160, it says, "For the sum total of everything is truth." I paraphrase that. But I think we know the idea of what we're after here this evening. Anytime we approach Bible study, whenever we look at anything, we have to make sure that the scriptures that we study are not taken out of context, because we can understand just how difficult of a path that will be. Explaining something, a verse that has no relationship, that you're way out of line on, that you're standing in a situation where you ought not to be standing, that you're defending something that you should not be defending. So we have to be very careful when that happens. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, where it says for us to rightly divide the word. When Paul wrote that to Timothy, he said, be careful, because if you don't rightly divide the word, we're in big trouble. So we have to be very, very careful. Paul knew that back then, told Timothy, and of course we should know that today. Makes no difference if it's me or if it's someone else who stands before you. If I take a verse out of its context, I am not proclaiming the truth of what the scriptures say, whether it's me or anybody else. I'm not holding forth speaking the truths. I'm not speaking of the true oracles of God, the way that God within His Word teaches us how to live, how to conduct our lives, and how to do things right and proper in His sight, and not only in His sight, but in the sight of man as well. So when we endeavor to study, we have to make sure that we're standing where we ought to be standing. Now, the reason why I caveat that is that since I've been here, it's happened prior to us coming here, but this last situation happened just this past week where that there's a certain text of scripture that individuals who are not Christians have used to things that I have said, and they come back and just say that you shouldn't do. And the men alluded to and quoted from Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. We all should probably are aware of this, of what this verse says. But do we know what it means? Well, we're going to talk about that tonight. Judge not, that you be not judged. Now, when those individuals said that to me, I said, you ought not judge me for judging them. Because if we use this verse, if this verse is teaching that you are to judge not, period, then if it's categorically wrong for me to say that you're wrong, then I was wrong for saying it's wrong for somebody to say it's wrong. And, I mean, you can just see what's going to happen is that I'll stand up and say, you're wrong. And then you'll stand up and say, don't judge me. Judge not, lest you be judged. Then I'll stand up and say, well, don't judge me for judging you. Then you stand up and say, well, don't judge me for judging you for judging me. So you can see where we can just tailspin on this, and it doesn't even make nonsense. And so if Jesus said this, and if that's what he meant, then we have to understand that something's got to give. Something's not right here. So if you tell me that I can't judge, where do we go? How do we know the difference between right and wrong? Of course, that's where the scriptures come in. So this verse was used, quote unquote, against me on several occasions. And so I just said, well, don't judge me for judging these people, because if you're judging me, then you're wrong for judging me. It sounds confusing, and it can be, but it really isn't. So we're going to see And we need to look. Yeah, we mentioned context, and we have to see where this verse lies and see exactly what it means so that we don't take it out of context. And yet, you know, you hear of situations, world situations, or even situations that we may be in at work or whatever. I'm sure this verse was quoted to you at one time or another. Judge not, that you be not judged. Well, whenever you hear of people disagreeing with people or with groups, if you haven't heard it, you will. It will come up. Don't be so judgmental. Who are you to judge? What we're going to do tonight is kind of look from the broad spectrum in Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 1. A passage of verses which I'm sure we're very familiar with. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be in subjection to the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Therefore he that resists the power withstands the ordinance of God, and they that withstand shall receive to themselves judgment. For the rulers are not a terror to the good work, but to the evil. And wouldest thou have no fear of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise from the same. For he, in other words, the authority, is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, an avenger for wrath to him that doeth evil. You're going down the street at 75 miles an hour in a school zone. And, you know, you just blow through that area where a little flashing light says 20 miles an hour. And a policeman pulls you over. And while he's writing that ticket, don't you dare quote him, Matthew chapter 7, judge not that you be not judged. Because right there, the civil authorities, God-given right, the civil authorities have the lawfully constituted, scripturally constituted order of judgment. And if people are going to do that which is evil, as we've just read, then two things need to be noted here. We must know the difference between that which is good and evil. And secondly, we must then make a judgment between that which is good and evil. So we have to know, and then we have to judge. We have to make a choice. Life is full of choices. We make judgments all day long. Now, we're going to talk about what kind of judgments are we supposed to make. So the courts are set up to make judgments. And if you're brought before the court, if you're the person who blows through that area at 65 miles an hour, and you get that ticket, and that court levies a judgment against you for doing evil, you just suck it up. That's what you need to do, because you were wrong. You need to own up to that wrong. Now, is the court or civil authorities, as in stated in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, are they wrong in making judgments? Absolutely not. Ever been on jury duty before? When the county calls you to be on jury duty? What's your job? What's your responsibility as a juror? Well, if you make it through the process, you're going to sit there and you're going to hear the facts of the case. You're going to hear the rules of evidence. You're up there and they're going to talk to you. I mean, just turn the TV on to this trial that's going on now. Not only that, but if you're sitting there, you're actually sitting there, you're going to render a verdict, whether guilty or not guilty, and brethren, you're judging. You're judging that person or that people. But we just don't do it just out of blindness. We have to look. We have to see. We have to gain all the facts. So we must decide, when we're on that jury, is did the defendant, did the bad guy or the alleged bad guy do it? And secondly, was it wrong? Was that situation or the circumstance in which this person is alleged to have done this thing, was the offense wrong? And if that can be substantiated, you turn back a guilty verdict, and brethren, you have judged. So, when we make a judgment, you make sure it's a righteous judgment. Even if it's your neighbor or your friend who's the defendant in that case, don't you pervert that. We can't pervert justice. We, as Christians, or even people who are not Christians, within the court system, we have to do that which is right. We have to render righteous judgments. Remember, God himself says he hates false witness. He hates false witnesses. There's a reason why that's in there. You can see how much chaos and how traumatic a false witness can be. So when we're on a jury, when we're chosen for jury duty, you render a righteous judgment. So, we've seen that the civil courts have such an obligation to fulfill those things which are right and proper. Now, of course, we know that line that's drawn in the sand. If the laws of the land violate those of God's, what are we supposed to do as Christians? I think we all know that answer. We're not supposed to violate God's law if it's if it's man's law. If it's there, then we need not do what man's laws have dictated us to do. I think that's clearly mentioned in the confines of the New Testament. So, when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 1, chapter 7, verse 1, "Judge not that ye be not judged," you cannot interpret that to be an absolute blanket statement that no judgment will ever be allowed by men. The courts must judge. So let's take it a step further. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 6. Every once in a while, among our brethren, we find someone that just doesn't want to do right. And in verse 6 of chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians, it reads, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the traditions which they received of us." You can keep reading, but I'm going to drop down to verse 14. "And if any man obeys not our word by this epistle," note that person or that man, "that ye have no company with him to the end that he may be ashamed." So here's the second point, like unto the first, but in a different realm. The first point, civil courts will make and stand in judgment, and they're right. That's a God-given thing for them to do. God told them to do that. Secondly, here, as we as a congregation of people will sometimes have to stand in judgment of our own people, of our own brethren. It just sickens me. I hate when that happens. It's not fun for anybody. It's not a fun thing to do. But if I or you decides that you're living, that you want to live an ungodly, an undisciplined life, then you will force the church here to either follow the scriptures or to give them up. There's no middle ground here, brethren. You either do it or you don't. So, but if we follow the scriptures, then what we must do is to come together and make a judgment against you if you're the wrongdoer. We need to say the Bible says your activity, whatever you're doing, is wrong. Now, we just can't say that. We have to have book, chapter, and verse. Here's our authority. Here's our standard. This is what we need to do. Once that has been substantiated, then that person, whether it's me or whether it's you, if I'm guilty of violating that scripture, then after we do two things, Paul says, note or mark that individual in verse 14, and then to withdraw ourselves from that individual. Never pleasant. It's never a fun thing to do. But you know what I've seen take place and have heard on occasion is after the church, in doing that and showing the judgment was righteous and godly and holy, in showing that the person's fault was blatantly obvious, that the points were proven dramatically, that they have violated the scriptures, some people, even the person with whom was the guilty party, had the audacity to stand up and say, "Judge not, that you be not judged." Now, when I hear that, at that point, if it wasn't so ridiculous, it'd be funny. But the point or the fact of the matter is, the person has totally misunderstood Matthew chapter 7, and that's not funny. And on top of that, the fact that the person has done something wrong in which it demands the church to take action against that person is even less funny. It's not fun. The elders just detest having to do it. We as a congregation detest having no company with an individual, with a Christian, but we know we're supposed to treat that individual as a brother and sister. We know that. But that's tough. But when the righteous judgment is cast forth, we're supposed to do what we're supposed to do as a congregation, and that's difficult. I just wish everybody would act the way that they're supposed to, don't you? It would be great if people would just do what they're supposed to do. But people don't. People don't. They want to do their own thing. You know, we live in a society now that it's a me society. That's too bad. Because what's Christianity all about? It's subjecting yourself. It's being humble, to being abased, to taking or allowing God, allow Christ to dwell in you richly. And for that to happen, your will has to take second place. Your will has to be that behind what God wants you to do. And until that happens, you're not going to be the person that you should be, the Christian you should be. So when people do that, we need to stand up and say, that's wrong. And this is why it's wrong. Book, chapter, and verse. Now, the same point that I want to make in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Again, a passage that we're all familiar with. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It is actually reported that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not even among the Gentiles, that one of you have his father's wife. Now, this is actually reported. This is wide open. This is in the clear. That they're condoning, or actually there are people here that have actually engaged in activities that are completely wrong. And so we see it here. And, of course, sin is sin. But we know that the consequences of sin, you know, can be greater in as a result of some sin than in others. So Paul is just saying, I mean, this is fornication. This is wrong. And he's saying here that you know, it's bad. And even it's not even, I mean, it's not even reported among Gentiles. And so Paul goes on, drop down to verse 3, we can go verse 2, and ye are puffed up, and did not rather mourn that he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, being absent in body, but present in spirit, have already, as though I was present, judged him. Oh, now wait a minute, Paul. Wait a minute here. You judged him already? Yeah. Paul judged him. Now, I'm sure Paul knew that Matthew chapter 7 was there, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. So when Paul says that, he says, I have judged. And this is an inspiration. This is a commandment given by Paul that I have judged whether, I mean, I was there. Well, even if I wasn't there, But still, what you're doing is wrong. Now, can you imagine this fornicator standing up in the assemblies at Corinth after Paul said that you stand condemned, brother? You're wrong. And that person saying that's wrong and condemned comes in and says, judge not that you be not judged. What are they supposed to do? Just sit down and shut up and let this person go on in his fornication? Now, Paul said it's wrong to everybody. Well, I know at least two people who didn't think it was wrong. The person who was doing, you know, who was doing this, and the person he was doing it with. So here are at least two people that are wrong. So does anybody think that we need to just to sit down and shut up and say nothing? And let that person or let those people keep on in their fornication and godliness? Well, not a chance. Not a chance in this world that should ever happen. And yet, that's how this verse is often used, or rather misused. Third point I want to make is, well, first of all, before we go on to the third point, let's see what we've talked about. We said, judge not does not apply to civil governments making righteous judgments. Judge not does not apply to a local congregation making a judgment against evil by one of its members. We need to make those righteous judgments. Now, as in 1 John chapter 4, got your Bible, turn over there with me, please. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. As an individual, you will and you must make judgments. So you can see how we're narrowing and getting closer to home. That we're not exempt from making judgments. We have to make personal judgments. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Somebody comes up to you and says it's perfectly all right for you to do this and that and this, and it's, you know, God says it's fine. You just stop that person and you ask that person, where's the authority? Where can I do that? I don't care if it's me. I don't care if it's one of the elders here. I don't care who it is. And that's the beauty behind Christianity, is that it's very, very personal. It's very practical. And it's incumbent upon everybody to know what they believe. That's what Christianity is that we have to know. I mean, we're not, as you heard the old quote saying, is that we're not going to go to heaven on someone else's shirt tail. It doesn't work that way. We must know what we believe. And we just can't go through the motions. So as an individual, we have to make righteous judgments. This is what John is saying here. And when we're faced with a problem, when someone says it's all right for you to do this, you're faced with a problem. You have to decide, is it right or no, it's wrong? Well, how do I venture out and decide if it's right or if it's wrong? By the Word of God. We need to know what the Scriptures say. And you know, you're doing that to me right now. You're judging me right now, as far as what I'm saying. You're judging me. You're judging what I say, if it's right or wrong. And we need to do is get the Bible out and decide what's right and what's wrong. You know, I'm continually amazed by, you know, if you just do some channel surfing on TV. I counted 9 stations this morning that have religious content. Well, they all can't be right. Someone's got to be wrong. How do I know who's right or who's wrong? Are the whole batch of them wrong? Or are they all right? That's what I have to distinguish between right and wrong. I need to make a decision. I need to make a judgment. And if I'm not armed with the knowledge to do that with, I'm just going to vacillate back and forth, and I'm not going to get anything done. I'm not going to be pleasing to my God. I'm not going to be pleasing to myself, because I'm just a wishy-washy, spineless guy that won't make a decision. We have to make decisions. as rough as that may be, but there's certain criteria that has to go along with that. So you need to judge between right and wrong and make that judgment righteously. So we can see, let's turn back to Matthew chapter 7. Judge not, that you be not judged. The same man who said, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, also said in John chapter 7, verse 24, same person, same man, he said in John chapter 7, verse 24, judge not. Well, should I just close my Bible? Should I put a period there? Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Judge not, yeah, but you better not judge according to appearance. What's the rest of that verse say? Judge righteous judgment. So when we make judgments, we better not just make them just because it looks good. And sometimes you're what are we supposed to do? Get the coin out and flip it? And if it's heads, you win, tails, I lose. What are we supposed to do? Sometimes, I don't know. There are times when we have to make judgments, and it's best that you don't make one because you're not armed with all the facts of the case. I don't know. Sometimes it's best that you just keep your mouth shut. Sometimes it's best to go ahead and just go. But whatever the case, you just best do it with righteous judgment. And don't do it according to appearance, because Jesus said, don't do it that way. Now, bring chapter 7, verse 24, book of John with you, over to chapter 7, verse 1 of the book of Matthew. It says, judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye are judged, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye met, it shall be measured unto you. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in your eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me cast out the mote out of thine eye, and lo, the beam is in thine eye? Underscore those next two words. Thou hypocrite. He says first. Well, if you see a first there, is there going to be a second? Well, sure. If you see a first there, you better believe there's going to be a second. He says, first, do this. He says, take the beam out of your eye, and then you'll be able to see clearly, cast out the mote out of your brother's eye. Is it wrong to take the beam out of your brother's eye? In other words, if Mike is out here doing that which is wrong, and I know he's doing wrong, what am I supposed to do as another brother? I'm supposed to go to Mike and say, you're wrong. He's wrong for doing that. We're commanded to do that. It's right here. And if we don't do that, we violated the precepts or the understanding of this verse, and we've sinned. But, remember that second. Before I do that with Mike, what first do I need to do? I got to make sure I'm seeing clearly, right? I got to make sure that if Mike's not going out here and getting drunk, then I better not be a drunkard. I better not be a hypocrite in doing those things and approaching someone who's doing the same stuff. That's what chapter 7, verse 1 is talking about. It says, judge not that you be not judged. Don't cast hypocritical judgments. And Jesus says, you're a hypocrite if you don't take care of yourself first. If your life is in a situation or in a circumstance that it shouldn't be in, you take care of yourself first before you go and talk to another brother or sister about the problems that they may be having. That's what this is talking about. It's not talking about you can't make judgments. You drop down to verse 13. Verse 15 of Matthew chapter 7. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. What are we supposed to do? If someone comes in here, stands right where I'm at, and starts talking about things that he shouldn't be talking about, well, if he's labeled a false teacher, and if we can prove that from the scriptures, and the elders say he's a false teacher, don't you dare go against the elders. And if it can be proven, don't you dare side with this guy who's being a false teacher. A little closer up to the lesson text, verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before the swine, lest haply they trample them under their feet and turn and rend you. So you mean to tell me that there comes times when I can't teach God's word? That I'm not supposed to help somebody along? Yeah. When that person who you're trying to teach says, I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want anything to do with what you have to say, what you represent. I don't care that you're a Christian. I don't even believe there's a God. Get out of here. What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to still cast our pearls before the swine? That's not what this verse says. What did Paul do when he left that city? He shook that dust off the state, and he said it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than that city. That chased him out of there. It's something to think about. Now, when do we make that judgment that we're not supposed to cast our pearl before the swine? Well, you should know that. Each situation is different. I don't know when the right time is. I know when it's not. When that person still has a vested interest in what you have to say. But there comes a time when you said no, enough is enough. And so, if that's the case, what do we have to do as Christians? Two things. Live righteously and point out error and point out wrong. We have to be careful because still, I mean, we don't want to cast our pearl before swine, but we still want to do what we're supposed to do. Fine line there. Sometimes it's extremely fine. So we've learned that Matthew chapter 7 verse 1 is not stating that we're not allowed to make judgments. We are. You just make sure that your judgments are righteous. And once we've distinguished what righteous judgment is, then you do it. Because, you know, I just had a conversation this past week with an individual who says, you know, well, homosexuality, you know, if as long as they don't, you know, force themselves or even talk to me about that or try to recruit me or whatever they do, as long as they keep their distance, that's fine. I said, that's the company line. I said, almost everybody takes that line. I said, it's wrong. And this is when this person says, well, you're being pretty judgmental, aren't you? I said, no. I said, you're looking in the first chapter book of Romans. I said, it's wrong. It goes against everything natural that I can imagine. And it's wrong. And that's what I told this individual. And we had another discussion after that, but I mean, it's pretty clean cut. And so, is it tough to do that? Yeah, it's tough. It's real tough. It's tough to not take the company line, so to speak. It's tough not to follow the leader. But you know, sometimes we have to, and as Christians, we must. We must make righteous judgments. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, as our closing, says, for as many of you were baptized into Christ, did put on Christ. It says there that you're not a child of God unless you've been baptized. Well, judge not that you be not judged. I said, I can make that judgment. It says right here that for ye are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for as many of you were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. So my understanding of that verse is that if you're not baptized, you're not in Christ, period. Well, you're being pretty judgmental. No, that's what the verse says. I'm making a righteous judgment. I've talked to a person about this before who told me that he's never been baptized before. And I brought that verse up. And he came back and says, well, you can't judge me like that. I says, I'm not judging your motive. I'm judging your condition. And that you're wrong for being in your condition that you are. It's what the scripture says. And sometimes it's tough. It's tough being a Christian. It's tough doing what's right. But the payoff is there. The payoff is there. And if we can be true to ourselves, true to our God, true to fellow man, in knowing that what we must do is by conviction. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. By conviction. To knowing that we need to do the right thing at the right time, the right person, like Jesus did. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. We need to take on Jesus. We need to take on his characteristics. I just wish that I knew the answers to everything. You know, some people claim that they do. I'm not one of them. But as a Christian, we need to make righteous judgments. Do not judge according to appearance, because that'll get you in nothing but trouble. Jesus said it. Paul said it. And don't dare come back and say, judge not that you be not judged, because that's not the proper attitude to have. If your life is not in harmony with God's word, it needs to be. I think we all see that. Whether you need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, the opportunity now presents itself. If you're a Christian and you've not done those things that you should in your life, in your life, you need to make that right. Only you can. We're here to help you. As our class was this morning, is to encourage one another. That's what Jesus was teaching us here, is to encourage one another. This is all part of it. If you stand in need, please, as we stand and sing, please come forward.